Product Breakfast Club. Da, 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 da. Product Breakfast. Da, 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 club. Hey, this is Jonathan from Product Breakfast Club, and I'm just going to give little baby Jake a call because he's not at a computer today. So we're just going to have to deal with really bad audio quality. But you know, Jake's just a charming guy, so let's just go for it, okay? I'm just going to call him here. Okay, Jason, maybe right here you could put in the noise of me dialing or something and then like the phone ringing and a bit of silence.
Yeah, hello? Who is this?
Oh, hey, is this Jake Knapp, the New York Times bestselling author of Made to Stick?
Oh, why, yes, it is.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Wait a second, I know this voice. This is Jonathan Courtney.
Oh, yeah, man.
CEO of AJ and Smart.
CEO.
And sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
As according to Newsweek magazine.
And GQ, front page.
Front page. All right. Hey, what's up, dude? How's it going?
Good.
What are you calling about?
So basically what happened there, for the listeners to really know what happened, is I text Jake and I was like, hey, I have something we could chat about on the podcast. And Jake is out and about at a client. And yeah, but he agreed to do it over the phone. So that's why Jake's audio is kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm at IDEO in San Francisco. I was visiting here because they are graciously putting on like a little kickoff party for Make Time. The Make Time book
cool.
comes out soon. Yeah. And in fact, if you are going to be in the San Francisco area, if you're really into the Make Time book and you are curious about it or whatever, like, and you wanted to come by on September 24th, send an email to PBC at it's something, something at something, something .org. What is it?
PBC at ajsmart.com.
It's in the show notes. Show notes. But anyway, send an email and like maybe, I don't even know what the deal is with the event, but I was here and we were talking about the plan for it and we're kind of figuring it out. And then I was like, oh, you know, and I was mentioning it to our friend, Susan O'Malley. And Susan was like, you know, we got a great audio booth here if you want to do your podcast here. And I was like, oh, that'd be great, except I don't have my computer. But anyway, she's so nice. She let me use it. So I'm in the nicest audio booth that I've ever been in. This is IDEO's where they do their sound. There's like,
cool.
I look around, I'm seeing like fancy microphones on like crazy arms and everything's covered in foam. And like, there's all these soundboards and wires and it's amazing. But I'm on my phone, on my AirPods, on Skype. So it's the saddest thing ever that I'm so close to amazing sound quality, but it's not going to happen.
I love it. It's so cool. So the reason I called you, because I know you don't have so long, and it was a timely thing. So on September 12th, which is like, I don't know, it will be only like 3 days after this podcast comes out.
Oh.
Apple is going to have its iPhone event, the 2018 iPhone event.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dog.
It's coming out the 12th. The 12th is the announcement.
So the invites just went out like maybe 20 minutes ago. And the invite is kind of cool. I sent it to you over text message.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at that on the text right now. Oh, your screenshot just shows me. It says, gather round.
Yeah, that's
please
it.
Please join us for an Apple special event. Okay.
And then it says, children, Uncle Tim underneath.
Did you write that?
No, that's like from a news website where I took the screenshot. Ignore that. So maybe you can describe the invite because it's always like there's always clues hidden within the invite.
Yeah, it says gather around and there's actually many concentric circles, thick bands, like a medium-sized band surrounded by two thicker bands surrounded by two really thin bands. So there's a thin band on the inside, thin band on the outside. They are all circles. The circle color I would describe as golden or maybe slightly
beige,
slightly rose-tinted beige.
Yeah, rose gold, I guess it is.
Rose gold. It could be rose gold, although it's more towards gold than rose gold.
Mm, true.
And then it says gather around. It's on a black field, a black background. And it could, what was your interpretation?
I mean, to me, it looks like the new building.
Yeah, new building, which is a very unexciting interpretation because it just means that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, that's too boring for what that would be. But because, you know, there's usually a little bit of a hint. But the reveal of what the hint was is usually really underwhelming. But the color, I think, is probably related to the fact that there's going to be an iPhone XS with that color.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So will I do a quick wrap up of all the things that are going to be announced? And then I'll tell you why I called you.
Okay. You know all the things? What have you been
like the rumors.
Okay, the rumors. Oh, hit me with the rumors.
Yeah, the rumors. I mean, they're usually right, unfortunately.
They're usually right now. It used to be more fun because they were less often right, but now it's like Timmy, the CEO. He must just have a Slack channel with those rumors.
He's just posting it out to Slack.
Because it's so accurate.
So here's what's up. There's going to be an iPhone XS, which is basically exactly the same body as the one both you and I have, which is the XS. So this is going to be the XS. And that's to be expected because the Apple does this sort of TikTok approach to product design. The tick is like the new product year where the new thing, it looks different. It's like got new crazy innovative stuff in it. And okay, I shouldn't say innovative because Apple is more kind of laid back about what they do. They generally watch what's happening on the market and they make their own version. But this is a talk year where it's going to be the same thing, just with like the kind of chip is going to be faster. It's going to be better camera.
And it's a talk. It's talk because they're going to talk about it in a way that, that makes me irresistibly want to buy it. I don't know how they do that, but it's always the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I have to have it.
Yeah, exactly. So also what's going to be slightly different is that the iPhone XS, which is the kind of assumed name of it.
Do you say X or 10? I thought it was what you said.
Oh, sorry. It's the XS.
Okay, the XS.
So the XS is going to have a slightly, you know, the version we have is the silver version, and it's like a grayish background. It's going to be more white. That's like the big thing.
That's the innovation.
I need it right now.
I laugh about it now, and then I'm going to be like hopelessly ordering it, like refreshing the browser on the time.
You're going to be looking at your slightly gray iPhone X and puking.
Oh, God. This old piece of garbage. If it was
exactly.
Just a different shade of gray, it would be
violently vomiting. So then the second thing is the iPhone XS Plus. So it's going to be the plus version of the iPhone X. So with the kind of edge-to-edge screen, with the notch, with the Face ID, but the large version. A lot of people have been wanting one of those. So that's going to be popping out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Those are too obvious. I mean, both
of those
are...
Are you going to go for the big one? Would you go for the big one? Or the
I don't know. I like my 10. And I'm on the tick years. The year before and last year, I got the new iPhone, but this year, I think I might skip it. Unless, the thing is, I always say that, and then I watch the keynote, and even if it's boring, I'm like, oh, daddy.
Yeah, they're going to be like, hey, there's 2.5 new hand emojis, and I'm going to be like, I got to look at that.
I need it now for that one time I'm using it.
But they're exclusive. Only the S has the processing power to display these hand emojis with hats. They're hand emojis with hats.
Holy shit, and the hats bounce around. Oh my God, I need that. So the third phone, so it's going to be three new phones. The third phone is a weird one. I'm kind of really curious. I mean, the most exciting thing for this event is going to be how they market this phone. I'm always excited about how they market these things because they're so good at it. A normal person like me looks at this phone and what I'm about to describe and I'm like, what a boring piece of shit. And then Apple does their ad for it and you need like three of them. So this is weird because it's the size is in between the size of the XS and the XS Plus.
Okay.
Barely noticeably larger than the XS and barely noticeably smaller than the XS Plus. And it has like slightly worse material, slightly worse camera, and the first generation of Face ID instead of the second generation of Face ID, which is going to come out in the XS and the XS Plus.
Okay.
And there's no guess for the name of it either. So people are thinking it's going to be like maybe the iPhone 9. Or something like that. So there's a few guesses, but there's no clear name for it. And this one, it also has edge-to-edge screen, so it's not like a half-assed version like the iPhone 8 was last year.
But it's made out of like duct tape or something.
It's made out of dead skin. Yes. Foot clippings. This one is definitely going to be the cheaper one. It's going to be more around $700. The iPhone X is going to be again around $1,000. And the XS Plus, I know I'm getting the names wrong, the XS, $1,000. And then the XS Plus is going to be around $1,100 or $1,200. And so those are the three phones. There's also a rumor that the iPad is going to get an update to have the edge-to-edge screen, Face ID, the notch.
That'd be good.
I bought the iPad Pro last year. I just watch YouTube on it, nothing else, but I still like it. But I'm always tempted by these things, even though I know I won't use them. None of that is the point of the call. The reason I want to have this call and get in there before the event, that everyone on the planet, every media outlet is going to talk about how boring the event was and how Apple is fucked and how this would have never happened if Steve Jobs was still alive and that innovation at Apple is dead. And I just want to just be there ready to tell you that that's going to happen. Apple's boring. Let's be the general public after seeing that conference. I'm just going to like...
So you're going to call it. You're calling it now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling it now. I'm going to give an example, all right? Hey, Jake, did you see how shit the new iPhone is? Exactly the same as last year.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just those guys are just rehashing the same thing.
You should write for The Verge. You're really good. That was really impressive, man. You're a writer, right? The same thing. But I think it's like, it's funny to me, like we talked about this in an early episode. For me, when I speak to a person who's getting paid to be a product person and they have as simple a take as Apple is boring and not innovating anymore, it actually shocks me a little bit. It's not that I'm like an Apple defender, although I am a little bit. It's like you have to think slightly deeper about what's happening. They have like this crazy ecosystem. They're extremely slow, extremely patient and careful with quality control. I know sometimes things go wrong, but for them, they're not panicking to get the new looking thing every year. The iPhone, I think it was like 6, 7, and 8 all look the exact same with barely any differences.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a tangent. I'm going to go on an amazing tangent
hit
here.
Me.
But it's going to wrap back in. It's going to come back in. Okay. I had this experience this summer where like I've been really intentionally trying to like slow down how much I'm on email and not reply to emails as quickly. And I've been doing this for a while, but this summer it kind of by accident, it got put to the extreme because I was traveling around, right? Like I was with you and doing other stuff in Europe. So there were just a lot of days I just couldn't because I was doing workshops or teaching. And then there was this one week when I thought for sure I'm going to have time to catch up then because I was going to be in Switzerland. We had like a few extra days and I knew that like everything would work well in Switzerland. And it turned out that the Wi-Fi did not work at the Airbnb where we were. And so I couldn't do email that whole time. It just got to this insane level. And what has been interesting, because the summer's over now, and I was just so far behind on email. And I just like, actually, this week, I finally like caught up. You know, I went through everything. When you go through hundreds of emails at once, I was skimming every now and again and catching like one.
My emails, you were skimming.
Your emails, I would answer.
Deleting. Delete all.
Yeah, fine, delete. But like, you go through all the emails at once for like weeks and weeks, and you're like, oh yeah, like a few things happened that I regret. I look like kind of a jerk in a few situations for not replying. But by and large, it was better to like let that stream of stuff go by.
Yeah.
And then like, when I look at it all together over the course of like weeks, I can really, it's much easier to determine what's worth reacting to and which things are really the most important. And that's actually like the appropriate place in my life, probably for email and in all of our lives, is like email should be a thing that we push off. There's no way we're going to stay on top of it. So if we push it off and put more important, bigger things as the first priority, and then we let email pile up and we only do the most important things and a lot of it falls through the cracks, it's probably good. So the tangent, the connection to Apple, I think it sparked in my mind when you said that they're just like, they're kind of content to like sit back. It's like letting your email pile up. All these like trends or new things that they could do or whatever, like they just kind of chill back a little bit.
Yeah.
And they do bigger things less often and they're more careful about it and they don't react so much and they're okay with people getting down on them a little bit because they didn't do so much or they didn't do something. So, and the result is what they do is really high quality. So it's really well thought through. They've much less often have like a product that fails. They do, but it's much less often.
Right. Almost never.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people look at like, even when as people get down on Apple, they still talk about like, how could we be more like Apple in the way we build our products, right? But it's a kind of funny hypocriticism that we all have. But like, I actually think it's an interesting idea because it's really hard to reproduce Apple, you know, if you're another company, because there's so many special ingredients that go into making Apple, Apple. But it's actually an interesting idea as like an individual. Like you can kind of do that with the way you do projects. You can kind of like turn down the dial on reacting to things and go, oh, we're going to be the first ones to have wireless charging. Oh my God, we're going to be the first ones to have edge screen. Oh my
right.
God. They were never that, you know, just like wait,
yeah,
let the flow go by and pick out the stuff that's the most important and then really focus on it. It's a lesson for all of us in there.
I really like that example. And I love the resilience and the restraint of Apple under like this barrage of anti-Apple media storms every time they bring out something that's a little bit boring, which is all the time because Apple is extremely iterative. And like even the bullshit around the notch last year, of course, nobody cares about that. Of course, every company had to do the notch. Even I remember when the AirPods came out and people were like, oh yeah, it's the headphones with the things cut off and they look like cigarettes coming out of your ear. To me, I find the reaction embarrassing, especially if a designer comes to me and tells me, oh, did you see the new HomePod? It's just Sonos, but shitter. And I'm like, you don't understand Apple. They're not even trying to compete on that level. They don't care. They're slow. They're careful. Yes, they're worth $1 trillion. Okay. Do you think you know more than them?
Apple is the embodiment of my favorite GIF of all time, which is the little clip from Zombieland where Woody Harrelson is like crying, and then he wipes his tears with like a handful of $100 bills. It's just like, yeah. We don't care.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's a good one.
I mean, Apple have done some things, like a rare misstep for me. It seems like they're always making mistakes if you read, you know, Twitter and people bitching about Apple all the time. But the only misstep for me in very long time was actually the MacBook Pro, the new one. So we had to buy, I guess we've bought about 25 of them at this point for the employees of AJ and Smart. And the amount of them we've had to send back has been crazy because the keyboard gets stuck. I'm already onto my third, like, one of these because the spacebar keeps getting stuck. And we've bought, like, compressed air to fix that. It Wow. sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't. So that's, like, bad. But for me, I'm also forgiving. I'm like, you know what? They fucked up. And yes, they never admit it, but whatever.
One thing I love about Apple, they're just so good at marketing and messaging. I love how they never really admitted that they screwed up the keyboard, but they came out with a rev of the MacBook Pro. And they're like, now with keyboard, with like a little membrane. And now it's like,
it's like a condom underneath the keyboard.
Yeah, now it's like, I can't remember what that keyboard is called, that thin keyboard, but it's like Fly Keyboard, like 2.0.
Fly
like, it's
chick
like,
or
it's
something.
Like a marketing feature of the new thing. So instead of being like, oh, our bad, they're like, actually, like now. You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they're really good at it.
Now it doesn't break half the time.
So Apple does a lot of things that are like gimmicky when they want to show off, like, let's say they want to show off the new iPhone. The iPhone 10, for me, the Animoji thing was gimmicky. I was like, it's fun and cute, but no one's going to use it after like a week or something. And I'm pretty sure most people didn't. But I don't care because it doesn't affect me because I can ignore it and it's not a hardware gimmick. And mostly Apple are extremely careful to not add hardware gimmicks to their products. And I know we kind of disagree on this and sometimes it helps me, but the touch bar for me is a hardware gimmick that at the start, I was like, that doesn't matter. It's kind of cool. It can do a lot of things. And I really love how it works with Keynote, and you can see the next slides. But it crashes so often for me, and it crashes for everyone at AJ and Smart as well, where you like turn up the volume and then it's just like stuck in the middle. It's also a really common problem as well for a lot of people. If you look on YouTube, you know, how to uncrash it, which I figured out how to do now. Just close the app you're in, like shut it down and then start it again. But for me, the touch bar was one of those things where I was like, okay, so that's something for the first time where I would prefer not to have that. I would prefer to not have that touch bar. So I actually bought the new MacBook Pro without the touch bar at the start. And then I had to give it back because it wasn't powerful enough. So then I had to get the touch bar one. So I was like, I'm going to force myself to like this. Apple is always right. I'm always wrong. I always think it's going to be crap and it's always amazing. But the touch bar is still something I don't enjoy particularly. Just put it out there.
No, I kind of am coming around on the touch bar to like, it's not that great. It's disappointing how infrequently the things that are on there are great. Like, that, you know, I don't think many apps don't really let you customize it. And the things that they do have, like, aren't that good. And really, the only example I can think of happens to be really handy is the Keynote thing. But even then, it's like, it could actually be executed, I think, a bit better. And you can't edit it at all. You can't customize it. So you have some stuff on there. So it's like, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, with that stuff, I hope that in, you know, 5 years, that has become a really great experience. It's sort of the kind of thing where like we're in V1 of it and it's not that good. And also we're at this point, and this will actually bring me to another thing that I think is worth discussing about when we talk about the iPhones, where with the Mac, like this is a product that has been around forever now. Like it's been around for decades. PowerBooks, you know, were around I was in high school using a PowerBook. So I know those have been around for a long time because I'm old. They're really making very fine little tweaks to them now. And we're in that stage with the phones, only there's even less kind of surface area to change and come up with new ways of interacting than there is with a computer. Like a laptop, you have a keyboard and you have this big surface area that has historically had buttons on it. You know, there's like actually like a pretty big canvas to work on as a hardware designer and like a lot of things to make smaller and to kind of make things better. With the phones, they're already at this point where like practically the whole thing is a screen. And the screen is so amazingly crisp and bright and lovely that it could get better. But it's like closing in on the point where it's hard to imagine it getting better. At least my phone like easily holds a charge all day. So that's all I need. Like that's amazing. And it's pretty much like the ideal size, like in my hand.
Until you see the big one.
Yeah, right. But basically within that range is kind of the size of phone that people want, seems like. So at this point, I've probably said this before, Apple has become jewelers. Like all they can do is like basically make the phone like a kind of jewelry where they're like, you know, making the finish better and like really fine tuning this stuff and then try to make their software meaningfully better and their platform meaningfully better than Android. And it's interesting. And actually, I think that I had always kind of been thinking before this summer that I was thinking like, gosh, you know, and that means that Apple's going to be really vulnerable because how can they be the best jewelers, you know, in that world where you may get to the point where you can no longer do the kinds of hardware better in the same way that than everybody else. Like, how do you be the best jeweler? But I think they're more onto the idea of it being jewelry and being like a fashion, you know, kind of a thing than other companies are. They're more able to execute that. When I was in Switzerland, I spent some time with my friend Stefan Cruchon.
Stefan.
It's how a person who can't speak French would pronounce his name.
You would say Stefan Crutchen.
Stefan Crutchen. Steph is a super cool guy. Steph does design sprints in Lausanne, Switzerland. And actually, my son Luke just started French in high school. And like, none of us in the family knows French or anything about it. And Luke is like, basically, it's like first day. He's like, basically, what I learned today was like, you just don't pronounce most of the letters. That's really the trick to French. So it seems like just don't pronounce the letters is the trick. But anyway, Steph was saying that he's like, my take on Switzerland, and he's Swiss, right? He's from Switzerland. He's like, it was basically a relatively poor country, like, it was a lot of farmers. And in this region, in particular, in the French region of Switzerland, they started making watches. And then the farmers started making watches. Watches during the winter, and like there's like a network of people who got way into watchmaking, and that's like a big part of how Switzerland started to make so much money. Like if you go to Switzerland now, like it's pretty clear, you look at their infrastructure, their trains and everything, they have a lot of money, like, and it's working really well for them. And actually, I don't know what portion of Switzerland's like gross domestic product now is watches versus like banking, and there's a lot of things Switzerland does. But I bet it's not insignificant, because when you go into Switzerland, like you see that in the airport everywhere. It's like watches, 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 watches. And they're expensive as heck. Anyway, the point is, this is like a whole country's economy who has like a sizable, I haven't really done any research, but I think like a sizable part of what transformed their economy and like has worked so well for them, in addition to banking, was watches, making watches. And that's Apple is the new Switzerland, maybe.
That's where you were going with this.
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh my.
Pretty good tangent, I think.
I feel like it was a good one, but there was a moment where I got a bit confused halfway between, but now I get what you're talking about. I like it.
Well, I wanted you to get confused. Yeah, I wanted you to. I mean, that was sort of the point.
I have to say I did get a bit distracted because literally right now, right this moment, which is 9:26 European time, loads of leaks just happened. Like even the marketing imagery for what's coming out on the 12th of September, which is a disaster for Apple.
Oh, no.
I've never seen the marketing images coming out. So actually, also, Apple Watch Series 4 looks pretty sweet. Edge-to-edge screen, much bigger display.
Oh, I was thinking about getting an Apple Watch. Okay, what else? Tell me about the watch, or what else do you see there?
So in addition to discovering exclusive iPhone X10S details, 9to5 Mac can exclusively share the first look at the Apple Watch Series 4. The biggest change is the new edge-to-edge display. Apple has been rumored to be working on a 15% bigger display for both size watches. So each one of them has 15% more display.
And what's really innovative is that you wear it on your elbow.
You wear it on your elbow, nobody else's. Yeah. In addition to taking, we're looking at some brand new watch faces. The watch face actually looks pretty cool, I have to say. Really using the edges. Everything else looks pretty much the same. It's hard to tell, but there's a little hole in between the crown and the main button, which I assume squirts water on you. Yeah, it literally says, also seen in this image is a new hole between the side button.
Is that Apple's marketing?
No. Literally, it says new hole. So actually, now that I've seen that, now I think the invite is maybe more focused on the Apple Watch.
The hole. That could be the hole.
The hole. And the Apple marketing around the iPhone XS and XS Plus is actually quite cool. It's two phones stacked on top of each other with, like, I think it's like Mars as on both displays, but you can see, I don't know, whatever. They're really pushing the gold color, so the gold one is definitely going to be the thing. So basically what I'm trying to say is Apple is doomed. By the way, Forbes is famous for posting Apple is doomed posts. And I was like, I wonder if I can find one really. Yes, I found one immediately. Apple is doomed. Johnny Ive has lost it. All of this kind of stuff. So yeah, just I'm just excited to see the amount of hate that Apple's going to get after this presentation, because they are not innovative anymore. They're losing it. They're boring, and you know, they don't know what they're doing. And also the $1 trillion market cap, ignore that. That doesn't matter. They don't know what they're doing.
Just remember Zombieland crying, everybody. Zombieland crying. That's all. That's, every time you see those headlines, just remember.
How do they resist it, though? Like, how do they resist all the bullshit? Because, you know, like when a company like Microsoft releases something that the public doesn't like, or like I'm just thinking about specifically Xbox or something like that, they respond immediately. And they're like, they apologize and they're like updating it and they're trying to get everything done as fast as possible and they're trying to keep people in the loop. Apple is like, waits for 5 months, doesn't say anything. They know it's going to blow over. They know people are going to give up talking about the thing that's annoying them.
They're Trump. They're the Trump of companies.
Oh,
they realize that the rules don't apply if you just ignore the rules.
The rules actually really don't apply to Apple. I mean, that's all I wanted to say. That was my main thing.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, this is kind of going to take the excitement level down a notch, but weren't you kind of hoping when you saw that invitation with the circle on there that they were going to bring back the button on the phone somehow, like maybe even with edge to edge?
I actually thought it was related to the button, edge to edge button.
I have to say, I've lived with the iPhone 10 for a year now, and my wife has I can't remember which number it is, a 7, I guess, iPhone 7 with the button, right? And every time I use her phone for something, I'm like, so easy to use compared to the iPhone 10.
Right.
Like the previous generation of iPhones was actually easier to use. My friend John Zaratsky, the co-author of Sprint and Make Time, he's said this a while ago. He's like, the sort of reputation for iPhones is that it's like they're so easy to use. But if you compare where they are now compared to when like it launched, they're so complex. There's all these little gestures and swipes and everything. And I personally, I mean, I think the iPhone 10 is wonderful, but it is actually less easy to use than when they had the button.
Yeah, but the environment is different. Like they're designing now for a almost like our smartphone native audience. I think it's just the time we're in. So like if you look back, of course, it was easier to use the original iPhone and it was easier. There was no like interfaces that were kind of swiping over or under things. But the thing is, have you used an Android phone recently?
No.
That's what they're competing against. The new version of Android, I really like it actually. And I got to play with it a little bit. It's great. I really, really like it. But that shit is like the pro version. You need to learn stuff for that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, like, I mean, I say that like it was easier. I think they're doing the right thing. Like, I mean, it's probably like feels like a better experience using the new phone because of the big screen and everything. And you have to make it more complicated when you take all the buttons. But yeah.
Basically, if you look on Dribbble or if you look on Twitter, you'll find 1 million designers who show you how it could have been done better.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wonder why Apple doesn't just do those things.
Yeah. Why don't they just take that? It's always funny to me. Like one thing, designers who don't understand why companies don't just take those redesigns and roll with them. Dude, do you know how fucking products are made in companies and how messy that is? Like the amount of politics that happen just to get one button on a screen? That's also another thing. Like the world isn't perfect. The product world isn't perfect. These companies aren't perfect. It's all about compromise. And the fact that even something gets out of the companies is amazing.
It is amazing.
It's deep. That is deep.
Actually, I'll do a little content advertising, content marketing here and say that I'm doing a workshop here at the IDEO office, not in the sound booth, but in the sort of daylight lit part of the office on September 22nd. And if you are interested in attending that workshop, you can go to jakeknapp.com/workshops.
Wait a second. Jason, can you put some cheesy music underneath Jake?
Oh, yeah. There should be
underneath, like some cheesy music just playing quietly behind like an infomercial kind of vibe.
That would be really good. Yeah. So anyway, what I was going to say, though, is that there's also a, like if you were going to roll paint on something, you know, like a paint roller, like those fuzzy foam, you know, cylinders. And it's been unused, but it's just lying here. And it looks like it has mold all over it. And yeah, I just found that. Anyway, everything else is what you would expect. But then there's that thing, which is like really, really, really a weird object.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe it's like, that's how IDEO keeps its fame. It's that it collects this spores. That's where the spores.
It's the, what do you call it with your gut? You're supposed to have like a microbiome or something. What is that called?
Yeah.
It's that. That's the, they have like a whole, set of like bacteria and like a whole host of things that, and if you come to that workshop, you'll get to breathe in a little bit of that.
That's really cool. Also, one last thing. I was imagining that you were seeing the top of someone's head while they were in the toilet from like 200 meters away, just because these toilets are so open. If anyone doesn't understand that joke, you got to go 2 episodes back, maybe 3 episodes back. Okay. So that's what you got to do. Jake, I think the audio actually might be not as bad as I thought it would be.
Probably, if it is not that bad, it's a statement about how poor the setup is at my home, because what's doing it, if it's good here, it's because they have the right kind of sound baffling. They got that foam eggshelly stuff all over.
Or it's because the AirPods are so good.
Or it could be because the AirPods are so good. Oh, bringing it back to Apple.
Apple is doomed.
Ah, good one.
Apple is doomed. So, all right, what's the front page article of Forbes on September 13th, as a guess?
iPhone XS underwhelms tech world.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I'm going to go for Apple boring. Apple boring.
That's a better headline, because it's just two words. Yeah, that's good. That's
Apple boring. And then later they'll fix it because it was a typo. I think that's the angle they're going to go for. And then 2 weeks later, the Google Pixel 3 will come out. It will be made of plastic, have a notch that covers the entire screen, and it will say, Google have destroyed Apple.
Oh, yeah. And they'll have a quote from some publication will do a review where they say that the Pixel 3 is better than the iPhone 10, and Google will have that in like their marketing material. It'll say, according to Wirecutter, the UK edition, not the US edition. the screen is better. It's the best smartphone screen on the planet.
Yeah, they'll do the camera thing again. The Pixel is pretty fine, but it's just like one of those things where I pick it up and I'm like, oh God, it's no, I don't think I'll take this one. All right, Jason, can you put the cheesy music behind this? Yeah. So Jake, did you hear that? Did you hear that there's a new official online course for people who are interested in learning how to facilitate design sprints and make money from design sprints?
What? Oh my God, Jonathan, you buried the lead behind all of those Apple rumors. So is this a leak? Is this something that leaked along with the Apple rumors? There's a masterclass?
I'm reading the front page of 9to5 Mac and Apple rumors right now is telling me that the official Design Sprint Masterclass course is now available.
That is stunning. You can't wait to see what Forbes says about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just scroll through here and see what's in the course. There is like 50, more than 60 videos teaching you how to run your own design sprint, featuring Jake Knapp and AJ and Smart, a company who has run more than 200 design sprints with some of the biggest companies in the world.
And some of the smallest.
And the like literally just me on my own. They also say here that you can get the keynote files, the checklist, the Google Doc checklist, and the delivery templates that we use for our clients when we do design sprints with them. That sounds kind of too much.
You know, it's like a lot of these rumors, they sort of overpromise. People get excited. They think a new iPhone's going to be just a sheet of paper. But do you think this could be true? Could it be true?
Speaking of sheet of paper, a lot of people have been posting on LinkedIn over the last few weeks. I think you might have seen this, Jake. They've been posting their design sprint certificate signed by Jake Knapp.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, actually, I wanted to bring up that my signature is so much better than yours.
Yeah, I need to improve mine.
Your signature really looks like somebody like who's holding a pen in their mouth.
Who says that's not how I signed it. People pay extra for a little bit of saliva on the sig.
I guess that's why it's so highly sought after. Well, actually, okay, we've been joking. We've been laughing and joking about the course, but all those things you said are true. And people seem to be really digging it, actually. Obviously,
we're making money
from
it.
We're trying to fleece you. Yeah. We're trying to fleece you for money right now. Basically, just essentially, we're trying to get your company to give you money. But we actually believe this is like a pretty cool course, and people are digging it and finding it useful. And I think it's partly useful because I think like when you guys designed the course, I'm in the course, but really like you guys came up with the structure of it and everything. You were really honest about how like these courses, it's super annoying. I don't know, this whole idea of like, I'm going to have to take tests. Like there's no tests. It's just like a useful resource. Like you can go through it as a class, or you can just use the videos kind of as you're going along doing a sprint to kind of remind you about how to do it or prepare you or even prepare your team. It's got all the materials you guys use. So it's just like this really workshop in a box or like masterclass.
It's a workshop in a box. And the cool thing, Jake, here's the thing that's cool. All right. So if you go to designsprintmasterclass.com, you'll get there. And the cool thing is that you don't have to like drop your money immediately. In fact, you can watch a 1 hour and 20 minute long free webinar. It probably isn't live when you're watching it. I do it live like every 2 weeks. So it depends when you actually click it.
We can waste your time before we waste your money.
Exactly. No, but the web class is like super highly rated, and it's focused on if you're interested in becoming like design sprint facilitator or a consultant, then the web class itself on its own, even if you don't want to buy the masterclass, is pretty helpful. So you can check that out. So designsprintmasterclass.com.
It is a good class. We are making money off of it. Costs a lot of money, but it also has to cost a lot of money because it's hard to make. It took a lot of work and time to make. And we'd still do the workshops in person, and it's like, they do have value, so we can't like, give it away to them. But yeah, it's worth it, I think. If you look at it, and you're like, you'll find that it's a good class.
Definitely worth it. You know what the best part about it is? Actually, the thing that we don't really advertise enough is that the Facebook group where the people who paid for the course and now go and start chatting with each other, people are like figuring out how to help each other get jobs there as well. And people are also posting like how much they made in their last sprint and how they're selling it and all of this kind of stuff, which is really, really cool all over the world. So you have people from like looking here now, like Japan, Brazil, Turkey, like setting up events, doing facilitation courses, all this kind of stuff. Really, really cool. So there's also a huge community there building up of people who are design sprint facilitators, taking it seriously though. It's not like you can just click into this free group. It's a private group. Also, I don't know if I mentioned that, but when you buy it, we also make money from it. And the last thing I'll say is that the price is right now $1,497, which is approximately $1,700, which might seem unreasonable, but we're actually going to raise that price in quarter four of this year.
To an even more unreasonable price.
It's reasonable, Jake.
It's reasonable. No, it is. No, I know. Actually, something I'm trying to get better at is not apologizing about asking for money.
The funny thing is, this is going to sound really stupid, but I knew the course was good, but I didn't think the reaction would be so good. Like, I didn't think people would be posting their certs on LinkedIn and talking about how amazing it was.
I'm honestly actually surprised myself. I mean,
me too. I'm like, what the fuck? We made this? That's crazy.
I think on the up and up, like, we knew it was a good course.
And the next version of it will be rose gold and have an edge to edge certificate. Cool.
Okay.
So edge to edge certificate next time. Thanks so much for listening to the Product Breakfast Club.
The ad was longer than the episode. That was a really good one. Okay.
where can people find you, Jake?
They can find me at jakenapp.com. You can check out some workshops there. I got some coming up. And you can also contact me if you want to say how much you love the Product Breakfast Club on Twitter at Jake K. That's J-A-K-E-K. Or Jake, as Jonathan pronounces it. Jonathan, where can people find you?
You can find me at JIcecream on Instagram, and basically that's it. On Instagram, I post daily vlogs, and they are very funny, so you should come and say hi and give me a little baby kiss.
Jonathan, I tried to include you in the photos. I wrote this post about our experience at the New York Times. You and I were at the New York Times doing.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that on the podcast, but fuck it.
But I couldn't include any photos because you never have a normal look in the photos. You're always showing your butt or like. Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah, they were surprised at the New York Times when I got up on the table, pulled down my pants, and did a Mooney for one of the group photos.
Yeah. That gave everyone pause.
Yeah, it was like, they're like, we don't do that here. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I really slowly pulled it back up. But yeah, that was the last chance to get a picture. No, really cool article, by the way. I really liked it. I shared it all around. That will be in the show notes.
Yeah, with maybe a topic for another episode. Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
Sing it out.
Product Breakfast Club.
Over AirPods.
Project Breakfast Club. Jip, 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 jip.